welcome BBS people and welcome the people on the internet. This is May, California, and Dharmanana has joined us. And don't forget, we have the Wednesday call for we have questions, and hopefully we will have some good answers for you. You may not like the answers, but they're good answers. If you want to come in on the live call, get your pencil and pen ready, and I'll give you the number for the Wednesday live call. Since I personally don't have internet, I don't know how you can get how you ask questions, so I can't tell you that one. But the phone number for the live call is 641-715-3655. 641-715-3655. Access code 897676#. 897676#. And that is the specific standard time at 6 o'clock on Wednesdays. And then for those of you like my who don't have internet and want to send Wynn and Terry some money, you can send them some money at Book Talk, 7675 Highway 89A, 1269, Sedona, Arizona, 8636. Welcome to the Monday call. Would you like to announce yourself?
Yes, I would.
Oh, good. You don't have to, but...
Antonio in California.
Hi, Antonio. This is May out in California.
Hi, May.
Hi. Thank you for calling. I was giving people the address for Book Talk if they wanted to send Wynn or Terry some money or cash, check, money order. I don't know. Do they make food stamps anymore?
Gold and silver.
Gold and silver coins, yes. And let's see, what else? So the address is Book Talk, 2675 Highway 1269, Sedona, Arizona, 86336. Was that high?
Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for being here. Do you want me to finish greeting people, or would you like to greet them?
Sure, go right ahead, May. I like it.
You know, I was listening to, for your Sunday song, there was a Hawaiian guy, he's dead, must weigh 600 pounds. His name is Israel. So he was singing a song called Over the Rainbow, and I think It's a Wonderful Life or something. And his pronunciation is amazing.
All right.
So listen to it and maybe put it on the Sunday music. Welcome.
Email it.
Go ahead. Welcome to the Monday call. Would you like to announce yourself?
Hi, Raiden in Sedona. Positive greetings.
Positive greetings, Raiden. And who else?
Jeannie in Citrus Heights. Hi.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
This is May out in California.
Hi, Raiden.
Raiden, are you okay? You sound a little strange.
I just had a really long meditation. I'm just walking outdoors for a walk.
Oh, okay. You sound like you're still sleeping or you have something in your mouth.
No. I'm just really, really mellow from this meditation.
Okay, as long as you're well, that's good.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
Okay, that's good. I want you to be well. And I do want to thank people that have been contributing to Wynn and Terry financially. Thank you very much. And for those that can afford to, please send them some more money. Use it. Welcome to the Monday call. Would you like to announce yourself?
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jane. Welcome. And who else came in?
Susan in Virginia.
Hi, thanks. Susan. This is May out in California.
Hi, May.
Welcome.
Can you tell me more about that? It's a free session with Kimberly. I see one for $79 post-conference.
No. It's on a, let me see. It's on a Saturday and a Sunday. It's at 5 o'clock, and it's free. Welcome to the Monday night call. Would you like to announce yourself?
Hello, May. This is Terry from Dallas.
Hi, Terry. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, the other Terry should be coming in pretty soon.
What's the date?
Let me think here. I don't have a calendar in front of me. Welcome to the Monday call. Would you like to announce?
Hi, this is Prudy in North Carolina.
Hi,
Prudy.
Dharmananda wants to know the dates for the free session that Kimberly is doing. At the end of the month. If somebody could look that up and tell them what day it is.
You're talking about San Mateo or not?
Yes.
Yes.
So Dharmananda wants to know what the dates are. And I know free sessions on a Friday or a Saturday or a Sunday. Or, yeah, something like that. Welcome to the Monday Night Call. Would you like to announce? Maybe.
Helen.
Hi, Helen. Who else?
It's Roger in Austin.
Welcome, Roger. Anyone else? If you're shy, that's okay. We still love the loving energy, so that's good.
I'll see you the accessing your 12th dimensional consciousness abilities free lecture.
Okay, so that's it.
There's no healing there.
Right, but sometimes she does a group healing at her free lectures.
Well, she picks out people.
Yeah. And for free, you know, you really can't beat it. And you don't have to pay the $35 conference fee or anything because it's after 5.
Who are you talking about?
Kimberly's San Mateo session in California. Welcome to the Monday Night Call. Would you like to announce yourself?
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don. Welcome.
Thanks. Is that me?
It is today until I die and reincarnate.
Okay.
Anyone else want to say anything?
Nope.
You are welcome to. But only in between the dings.
I want to say welcome to all those listening in on BBS Radio. Thank you for being here.
Oh, that too.
And we're at 6:03. Vin and Terry will be here shortly, hopefully. Right.
It's amazing work they do. They work like 100 hours a week for us. Good evening. Welcome to the Monday Night Call. Would you like to announce yourself?
It's Antonio.
Oh, hi, Antonio. Anyone else? Welcome to the Monday Night Call. Would you like to announce yourself?
It's Wynn.
Welcome, Wynn. Thank you for showing up. We do appreciate it. And I do know that you work over 100 hours a week for us, maybe even more.
Oh, well. It just goes with the territory. Are you greeting tonight?
Well, yes, but we also have Prudy here, and we also have Heiss here, and everybody else.
Well, you're welcome to do it.
Hello, Terry.
Hi, Heiss. Hi, everybody.
Oh, it must be Terry Brown.
Hi, Terry. Yep.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Love and
kisses. Thank you.
Lots of giggles.
For those who want to know regarding Kimberly in San Mateo, that is April 27th through the April 20th to the 30th, Friday through Monday.
And then her free lecture is on Saturday and Sunday after 5?
Sunday.
I know she's doing 2 of them.
On Saturday.
Okay, so
from
just
7 to 5.
Are you there, Jim Hillman?
I'm not sure yet.
And another one on Sunday as well, the 29th, from 6 to 6:45.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she is doing 2, one on Saturday, one on Sunday.
It is called the New Living Expo, San Mateo, California.
Now, when she was in New York, she was doing something upgraded. Did you hear about that, Harsh?
You mentioned that, yes.
Yeah. I mean, she was walking through the room and just working on everybody in the room, not just a few people. And so...
Yeah, I was trying to get Dharmananda to go down there on the free session because you don't have to pay the conference entry fee or anything. It's just totally free.
And he's not that far from there.
Well, if you can't drive, that might be very far.
I see.
Go ahead.
I see. Okay. Well, I'm about to get started. Listen, one thing I want to mention regarding the talk I did yesterday, which a number of people said they really enjoyed it.
The Sunday call, right?
Yeah, the Sunday call, you know, where I was talking about...
Disclosure.
Disclosure and different things. You know, we did a session today, and they really suggested that I stay away from that publicly. I guess it was okay to do it to our little intimate group, but it could cause a lot of stuff to fall down on my head, okay? Because, you know, I'm too credible in the whole thing. And, you know, sometimes getting attention, too much attention, can be dangerous, you know? So.
You're not ready to be the next Jesus Christ superstar?
Well, Jesus didn't. The only thing Jesus did was the money changers, okay?
Hmm.
I mean, it's okay to get attention for doing positive things, okay? For healing people, for uplifting people. But when you're going to create, like, how would I say it, discrediting other people, okay? Even when you're right, okay?
There's got to be a way to say it where you don't get in trouble.
Well,
look at who you're exposing.
Who am I exposing?
Well, if you're exposing the negative elite and about a certain thing like this.
Right, yeah. There's not, people do it all the time. They talk about this stuff. And sometimes they stay alive. But if you get too successful at doing it, then you become a threat. It's going to be in there. You'll be in their radar, you know? And they're powerful. And they don't care, you know. If you're small, they don't bother with you. But if you get in their radar and you're creating a fuss and they feel like they're losing a lot of influence because of you, and then that could be risky, highly risky, you know? So don't ask questions on Wednesday about it. You heard it. You know what it is. And we're moving on. And I mean, it's a little bit of a conundrum because part of me feels responsible for some of that stuff, okay? But nonetheless, I'll get over it.
Don't forget to turn the recording on, please.
Well, I didn't want to record that, okay? So.
Well, it's already on BBS.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
This is April 9th, 2000.
Hold on.
This conference is being recorded.
Thank you. This is April 9th, 2018, Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and this is our Monday night wild card. And Terry agreed we could do this, that we do a little session tonight. And I have some questions, some refinements on... Somebody just hung up. They must not like our channelings. Okay. On... Well, you'll see. You're
move away a little bit.
Move away a little bit?
The mic, yes.
Okay, is that better?
Yes.
Loud enough?
You are, yes.
Okay, and Terry, are you unmuted? I don't hear you. Can I give you a minute? I have to give Terry a minute. Okay. All right. Well, I'll talk about something else that's kind of interesting, and that is, I don't know if you guys have been tracking this, but something happened fairly recently that could be something that, well, let's see. I'll tell you what it is. This was put out today in the New York Times. FBI raids the office of Trump's longtime lawyer, Michael Cohen. And that's a big deal, raiding the office of a standing president. And they're looking for something. They're trying. You know, a lot of people. I'm not going to be a Trump. How will I say it? A Trump apologist. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of things about Trump that people have reason not to like him. On the other hand, he's taken the office of president, and I don't think he's under the control of the cabal. I don't think so. And people are saying he's threatening to arrest lots of people. And lots of people probably should be arrested. I mean, there's a huge amount of sexual stuff, the pedophilia stuff, and I'm sure there's something to it. I'm sure there's something big to it. And it keeps coming out everywhere, in Hollywood, in people that you think are the bastion of proprietariness, like Bill Cosby, for example. And so, you know, it's a sordid mess. And I'm not even sure that Trump himself is, if you look under his carpet, that he doesn't have things that he'd rather people didn't know. But I don't know. I don't know. In any case, just the fact that an office was raided of an attorney of a standing president, it's like, could it be the beginning of a coup? Are they going to try to depose him? I'm not saying if you don't like Trump, you might think that's good. But whatever it is, if something like that happens, it's going to create a lot of upset for everybody, regardless of the politics. Terry, are you back? Hello, Terry.
I'm ready.
You're ready?
Yeah. I'm here. Yeah.
Okay, 1 second.
Thank you for being here, Terry.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll continue as soon as when.
What? Terry's been really energetic for the past week. I think she might be gaining a little weight.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Did
I've
you weigh yourself?
I've been really hungry. Yeah, but my clothes on there was 116, so I don't know.
Today? Today you were 116?
Yeah, so yeah, but that's with my clothes and shoes on.
Oh, so you're probably at least 113, right?
Yeah, I would say.
So that's up from 111. Okay. So,
right.
You know, when we do these sessions, we are bringing through breakthrough information about how things work. And we've had this line of questions where we have learned that there's such a thing as a light body. And a light body can have more than one soul in it, which means we could have more than one soul. And that's fairly common. And our body is made up of teams. We have all our systems in our body that all operate without us paying attention to them, you know? So there's some fine points of understanding this that I had come up as questions. So I thought we would ask them tonight. So, Terry, you're rattling around, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to call in the light. Father, Mother,
the
God.
The bird's back at the window. The bird sees his reflection at the window, and he goes up and he pecks at it.
It's a quail.
All right, go ahead.
Keeps Terry company.
Yeah.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on the line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. We invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with you, each and every one, and we come directly to you. We do not come through the telephone line or the computer. And we are glad to be of assistance wherever we can for the highest good of all concerned. If we ever say anything that doesn't make sense or resonate with you, then disregard it. Thank you. Do you have questions? Lynn, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here. I would like to talk about some questions about our previous topic about light bodies, souls, and reincarnation, and how it all fits together. So just to bring things up to speed, let me share how I remember our last session. We have a light body. A light body can have multiple souls occupying it. And there's normally a lead soul. When a person dies, the light body continues. And I believe each soul can decide if they want to continue as a group or go separate at that point. And then they come back again, reincarnation. Is that about approximately right?
Well, they don't have to come back. They can.
No.
They've got a lot of other choices. But they can take another body, say on Earth, and can then again have an incarnation in a physical body and continue learning lessons that they started to learn previously.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it common for the same group to continue together? Or is it common for them to go their own ways?
Since they are working as a team and do not realize that they are separate, as they are, you might say, tethered together or united, they continue generally as a as one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I would say the people on this line, would a majority of them have multiple souls?
We do not wish to split people into sections.
Yeah. Okay.
It is true that they do have multiple souls, and these souls all work together as one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, genetically, people come together of all different races, even different planets, and they create offspring. Is there any, depending on the genetics, how does that affect the reincarnation? In other words, if a light body has been developing in a Caucasian body, for many lifetimes, and suddenly there's a body that is mixed between, say, black and Caucasian, is it normal for that same light body to occupy that mixed genetics?
Definitely, they can be a white in one life and a black in another. There's one instance where the little kid found out he was black that lifetime, and he just cried and cried because he says, I don't want to be black, I want to be white.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same soul or group of souls in a
mm-hmm.
different body.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about with ET souls? Can they come in and occupy a body in this realm? If they choose to?
They can. but it is rare that one will jump species, although it is possible.
Mm-hmm. What would cause one to make that decision?
There's numerous things. It is rare, as we mentioned. Maybe adventure, a wanderer. But in species, even like with an alien body and a human body, it is difficult to say jump the species, but it can be done. So perhaps they are a wanderer and decide that they want to check out something else.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a intention. There's a something that attracts them,
mm-hmm.
And they may then take another different body.
Mm-hmm. But they're still going to go through the same forgetting process, right?
Yes.
You cannot.
Very often, when an individual comes in, they gestate in a new body, and they get acquainted with the new energies, and new energies then become, in a sense, their home, and that is what they look out from the new genetic body, and they, their past fades, and they become a distant memory.
Mm-hmm. And then once that happens, the chances are they're going to create a whole line of bodies in this realm, even if they came from another planet.
Yes, it's that's possible that they will.
I mean, we have somebody on our call who, I won't say who they are, but they actually had a spaceship that landed here, and the whole group has continued to incarnate in this realm over and over again.
Yes. Yes. They did not know how to get back home, and it became a distant memory that they were from somewhere else, but they knew they were.
Mm-hmm. Now, long time ago, I asked a question about, at some point, there were more bodies than there were souls. Yes?
We checked back through history. There were more bodies than there were souls, you're saying?
Well, I asked the question, where does the new soul come from? And the answer that you gave was the DNA will form an energy around itself that becomes a soul.
Yes.
That's accurate?
Yes.
Does that ever still happen, even though we have bunches of souls on the other side that are waiting to come in?
It can happen, yes.
It can happen in our realm, right?
Yes.
What would be the reason why that would happen? I mean, suppose there's a body that has defects, say genetic defects, it's going to grow up handicapped or retarded. Does the soul know that on the other side before it comes in?
The soul may choose a specific body with a defect in order to learn a specific lesson. For instance, mm-hmm. if they heal karma, that they heal the balance, where they had made fun of a cripple in some lifetime, and then they come into another lifetime and are crippled to balance that karma
So when they're on the other side, they know all this, yes?
When they're on the other side, they do not necessarily know.
They don't.
However, they do not have the veil when they are on the other side. They don't mm-hmm. have the genetic influence. They don't have the consciousness of the group consciousness mm-hmm. that impinges on them from the other side.
So, when a soul is on the other side making a decision, and I think in most cases, does the soul decide which body it's going to take, or is it just flowing towards it and saying, well, here I am?
It can happen either way. Like mm-hmm. they can be on the other side and even choose, like, would I like this person for appearance or that person for appearance?
Mm-hmm.
They can take a look and see according to the lessons they need to learn. They can choose a situation that will help teach them those lessons.
Mm-hmm. So the soul on the other side has an understanding of the lessons they need to learn, yes?
On some level, it isn't something that they could probably write down in the book. It's a feeling that they're pursuing and
mm-hmm.
need to have this, or I need to experience that, or I need to balance my karma somehow.
Mm-hmm. How can a person use this information right now, someone who's listening, to enhance their life, to increase their evolutionary speed?
Well, they're in the middle of a life where they have chosen and they're experiencing, say, balancing karma. If they heave a handicap, then it can trace back to some earlier life where they have, say, made fun of people or created a situation of upset or problems to another person, and then the karma may come in as a being a cripple, having polio, with legs deformed, and then they get to experience what it was like to for the person that they made fun of.
Does sexuality transfer, the nature of a person's sexuality, does that tend to transfer from one life to the next and to the other side?
Yes. Sometimes there is a gap between lifetimes where things change for a few lifetimes and then revert back to something from an earlier lifetime.
When somebody is on the other side, I assume I'm saying soul comes in, but it sounds like the light body, it'd be more accurate to say that the light body is coming in, yes?
Yes. A soul is more than one energy. It is a group of energies that work together. It is a vehicle for travel and for basis for a new life.
When the soul comes into the body, it's a baby, obviously.
It can be a walk-in, so that an individual, like happened after in China, and I mean, when China took over Tibet and killed a lot of the monks, a number of the monks came in to bodies as walk-ins, taking over a body, say that was sick or the individual was about to die, and then taking it over and rehabilitating the body, healing it, and resuming their life in the new body.
When somebody does astral traveling and they leave their body, is the whole conglomerate leaving? Is the light body traveling?
Yes, the light body is traveling. And the light body has anchor points, so that if one leaves their body and they think, I don't have my body with me, so now I can just move through walls and everything. Usually they can move through walls because they're at a different frequency than the physical. But sometimes they have to be careful, because if they get hit by something suddenly, they can lose their anchor points and their tether from the physical body to the light body. They can lose their connection, and then the body ends up dying, and the person can't get back.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's something called the, I think it's called the autonomic
autonomic nervous system.
Yeah, in other words, where the heart keeps beating and the blood keeps flowing.
Yes.
And the lungs keep breathing.
Yes.
Does the soul aspect play any part in running that?
There are, as the body is a team and has teamwork to run, there are aspects of it that keep it running. And it continues to run. Those aspects keep it running when the soul body has left.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are some yogis that can actually stop their heart and then start it again. How does that work? How does that work?
It is an instruction to the nervous system that it's to be put on pause, and the instruction goes to the autonomic nervous system, and everything's put on pause, and then the yogi indicates, all right, now start it, and it can start up again.
So they've kind of wired.
It can have all the symptoms of like the body being dead, but it is not. It is put on pause, so to speak.
How about somebody like Yogananda, who I believe his body laid in state without decomposing? Did he want to make a point from the other side?
Some advanced people are able to put their body into not a deep freeze, but a freeze on the process of decay. It is something one can one can instruct the body that is not to decay, and it won't. It also is dependent upon the state of health of the body, because if the body is full of parasites, it's not going to stay
intact.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are situations where we've learned about them, where people are cloning themselves, and they can actually move their consciousness into the clone and into the next clone and continue. You told me that the Anunnaki of old were living for thousands of years.
That was something that the Anunnaki kept extraordinarily confidential.
Mm-hmm.
It was true, but it was extraordinarily confidential because they didn't want people to know the process, and they didn't want people to know that they were doing it and that they weren't some godlike form that could just stay alive forever.
It gave the appearance that they were actually immortal.
What they wanted to have.
They wanted that appearance. because because they wanted people to worship them and treat them as a god. Yes?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. You know, with Yogananda, there was a Indian named Babaji who was in his book that supposedly never died. Is it possible that he never died?
Yes. Yeah, that mm-hmm. is also possible, but it is not a process of cloning. It is mm-hmm. a way of handling the energy so that the body renews from the energies involved.
Mm-hmm. In terms of evolution of a soul, when a person is duplicating themselves this way, how does that impact their soul? Like, for example, let's suppose you have someone who is very evil and they do not want to go to the higher realms because they'll end up with a bunch of karma. Can they put that off and just move from one body to the next?
They can try.
Mm-hmm. The karma will catch up to them even in this realm. Yes?
Eventually the karma will catch up.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have an idea about karma, and it has to do with, since we are all one at the higher levels, that even though you're not experiencing that oneness, you are still in the energy of it. And if you do anything to harm someone else, in essence, you're harming yourself, and that's how karma works. You have to come back and undo it in yourself.
Everything comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
So that when a consciousness takes place, you have a spinning energy which condenses the awareness of
mm-hmm.
God's awareness. So it condenses God's awareness into that particular location. So everything is of God, and therefore everything is one, but everything experiences different manifestations in their physical incarnations, and their experiences are different, which makes them feel that they are not one with the other person. However, their energy is all from God. Their awareness is from God. And
mm-hmm.
so God is, in a way, experiencing himself through all of his creation.
Now, does the one infinite creator actually feel all of the creation simultaneously?
Yes. Everything is simultaneous.
Mm-hmm.
Although it appears not.
Mm-hmm. Because Carla Ruckert used to say that she had the idea that we were bringing back experiences for the one infinite creator.
Yes. Yes, we are.
So, the one infinite creator becomes one with our experience.
Is one. That becomes one.
Is one.
Yeah.
Whether we know it or not. right?
Yes.
So if our experience is suffering, then on some level, does that mean the one infinite creator will be suffering?
Yes. Yes. In the manner that the one infinite creator is that creation that is suffering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the one infinite creator, because it created everything and let it create itself, is bound to the creation.
It is an integral part of the creation.
Mm-hmm. When somebody actually moves into the space of experiencing the one infinite creator, what will it feel like to a human who's tapped into that?
Everything is very fast.
Are there synchronicities? Would it tend to
have... synchronicities can tend to occur, yes.
Mm-hmm. Because a person may not be out and about to create synchronicities. They may just be home in a secluded environment and they could still have that experience, yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm running out of questions. We have 2 minutes. Is there anything that you would like to share with us on any topic?
Thank you. Each of you is very brave, is taking on a challenge and is moving into the unknown minute by minute. But each of you is protected. Each of you is a part of God. Each of you is yourself. And experience is being collected by each of you and learning the lessons of how to live and how to love and how to love yourself.
When you say that we are brave,
yes,
is that because we've chosen to come to Earth, or because we're coming to these calls, and it's challenging all of our realities?
No, because you have chosen a life in the physical.
Mm-hmm. So that's true for everybody in the physical.
Yes. Yes.
And the physical is a very challenging place to be.
Yes.
Do people know that before they come here?
Not so much.
They find themselves here and they say, oh my God, what have I got myself into?
They probably don't even think that far.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think it is 6:55. It's time to get off of BBS. So I thank you so much for that very enlightening conversation. And we're going to move on to Whole Planet Healing. That's wholeplanethealing.com. And Heist, you know the phone number?
Yes, the phone number is 712-770-4340. With the access code is 250-513-pound.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And thank you all for being here.